Evening news. Alleged victims of clergy sex abuse reach a settlement with a Portland archdiocese. Hundreds gather outside Sudan's embassy in Washington, D.C. to protest the continuous violence in that country. And Chileans find themselves divided over whether to mourn or celebrate the death yesterday of Augusto Pinochet, the country's former dictator.
And in the human cost of occupation in Iraq, as of today, there have been 2,931 officially acknowledged deaths of American soldiers. IraqBodyCount.org reports as many as 55,678 civilians have been reported killed by military intervention in Iraq. A new report released by The Lancet puts the number at more than 600,000 civilians dead. Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Monday, December 11th, 2006. I'm Mike Monkbold.
And I'm Noah Eaton. Nearly all of the alleged victims of clergy sex abuse in Western Oregon have agreed today to settle their lawsuits against the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Portland. U.S. District Judge Michael Hogan told a news conference that all current and future claims could be covered by the Archdiocese without selling off property. Settlement has been reached with about 150 claimants, leaving about 20 to go, Hogan said. He noted that the Archdiocese is more than $50 million from settling litigation with insurance companies, plus sufficient assets to cover the claims. Court records show the Archdiocese has spent $15 million already on legal costs in the case. The settlement agreement is to be filed with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court by December 18th.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency says the Oregon National Guard should be reimbursed by the state of Louisiana for emergency services provided following Hurricane Katrina. FEMA Deputy Director Harvey Johnson sent a letter to the state of Louisiana saying it should reimburse Oregon for $2.7 million owed. FEMA says it will compensate Louisiana for the amount. Last week, Senator Peter DeFazio and the entire Oregon congressional delegation sent a letter to the acting FEMA director. They informed him of the shortfall of the Oregon military department faced without FEMA's reimbursement.
Wind power is coming to Three Mile Canyon Farms in eastern Oregon. The Morrow County Planning Commission has approved a permit for a $25 million wind turbine project on one of the nation's largest dairy farms. The nine towers will generate 15 megawatts of electricity, enough power to light about 8,000 homes. The project is part of the so-called community wind movement to build small groups of turbines on farmland or other rural areas with plenty of wind that can be converted to electricity. Construction is expected to begin early next year. The towers will stand about 400 feet tall with rotors that are about 270 feet long.
Construction is expected to begin by year's end on Eastern Oregon's first 16-bed secure residential treatment facility for patients with mental illness. Two-thirds of the people will have been discharged from Oregon State Hospital in Salem. The facility will be built in Umatilla, a town of 6,400 people north of Hermiston. Bob Nickel of the Oregon Department of Human Services says the ability to serve people in the community close to friends and families is an essential element of effective treatment. The new facility will deliver care not only to former state hospital patients, but also to those needing short-term crisis care. The facility is scheduled to be completed and opened before June 30th.
With so much to do during the holidays, the environment doesn't usually top the list. But there are some easy things everyone can do to dream of a green Christmas and save money at the same time. KBOO's Michael Munkholt reports.
Lights are twinkling on houses across Oregon, presents are being wrapped, and the holidays are underway. And with just a little effort, it's easy to cut back on waste and litter from these holiday traditions. Sierra Magazine lifestyle editor Jennifer Haddam says one of the easiest ways to green up your holidays is to update your lights.
By LED holiday lights, they look just like regular lights, but they use 80 to 90% less energy. That can save up to $50 on your energy bill.
Adam says creative wrapping can also make a big difference. So wrap kids' gifts in the comic section from the newspaper, or use children's artwork for that gift for grandma.
Because regular wrapping paper is usually not made out of recycled materials and often can't be recycled. And if every family wraps just three gifts in this more environmentally friendly way, it could save enough paper to cover 45,000 football fields.
Adam says after the holidays are over, remember to recycle the Christmas tree. She says 10 million trees end up in the landfill each year, but many local governments collect the trees and use them as mulch. Additional content was provided by the Oregon News Service. I'm Mike Munkbold, KBOO News.
Police have arrested an Oregon State University student after a transient was shot in an alley behind the Alpha Gamma Rho fraternity house. Police said a search of the house found more than two dozen weapons, including a .22-caliber rifle that tests determined was used in the shooting. Dennis Sanderson of Corvallis was shot in the thigh October 14th as he emerged from a trash bin behind the house, where he was looking to return cans and bottles. Joshua Grimes of Glide was arrested on November 9th and charged with assault and unlawful use of a firearm. Investigators said he wasn't the only one present and not the only one to have shot at transients over the past year. According to the police report, Grimes had told a friend at the fraternity that he had shot Sanderson. The friend had Grimes' rifle in his car when police found it.
Oregon Senator Gordon Smith continued his sharp criticism of the Iraq war today. Smith appeared on the ABC News show this week. During the program, the Republican said a strategy that appears to subject U.S. troops to lethal attacks without a clear plan for victory is, quote, a dereliction of duty. He also said such a strategy is immoral. Smith's remarks were along the same lines as a speech he gave to Congress last Thursday. In that address, Smith made national headlines by calling the current U.S. war effort absurd and perhaps even criminal.
U.S. scientists say a 100-million-year-old bee fossil and a DNA study suggest bees may have originated in the northeast, in the northern rather than in the southern hemisphere. The discovery of the ancient bee embedded in amber, perhaps the oldest bee ever found, pushes the bee fossil record back about 35 million years. Brian Danforth and George Poynar of Oregon State University found a bee embedded in amber from a mine in northern Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. Until now, many researchers believe that the most primitive bees originated in either South America or Australia. However, the work by Danforth and colleagues suggests the earliest branches of the bee's evolutionary tree originate from Africa. A report on the discovery, which the researchers say supports a new hypothesis in bee evolution, appeared in the October 27th issue of the magazine Science.
Three climbers were reported missing on Mount Hood Monday after failing to meet friends as scheduled on Friday or Saturday, Hood River County Sheriff's Office officials said. Searchers began moving up the mountain before dawn today to find the missing men. It was snowing hard at Timberline Lodge, where the three had met their friends. One was able to make a cell phone call from a snow cave the three were in atop Elliott Glacier, just below the summit of the 239-foot peak on Sunday. The other two apparently had left the cave on Saturday to seek help. Officials said one group of searchers would concentrate on known areas near the base, where the two might emerge, and that another group would go straight up the north face.
Friday, that Republican lawmakers failed to protect male pages from former Representative Mark Foley's advances, but they broke no rules. The committee harshly criticized outgoing Speaker Dennis Hastert, saying the evidence showed he was told of the problem months before he acknowledged it. A four-member investigative subcommittee has interviewed dozens of witnesses, including Hastert, to determine whether majority Republicans took enough strong action against Foley.
Democratic Representative Dennis Kucinich, who unsuccessfully ran for president in 2004, said today he is planning another bid because his party isn't pushing hard enough to end the Iraq war. In a statement, Kucinich said he plans to formally announce his candidacy on Tuesday at Cleveland City Hall, where he served as mayor of his hometown in the 1970s. The liberal anti-war Ohio congressman said he was inspired to run because he disagrees with the way some of his fellow Democrats are handling the war, including approval of a proposal to spend $160 billion more on the conflict. The anti-war message was also the cornerstone of Kucinich's 2004 bid, which drew support from some Hollywood celebrities. His previous presidential proposals also have included a national peace department and a single-payer universal health care system. In 2004, Kucinich posted single digits in most primary elections, including his home state of Ohio, yet stayed in the race. While awaiting a federal indictment in an extensive bribery case, Louisiana Representative William Jefferson won a contentious runoff election yesterday. Jefferson defeated fellow Democrat Karen Carter, taking 57% of the vote to his opponent's 43%. But Jefferson may have put himself in the position of facing criminal bribery charges. as a congressman rather than a private citizen by pursuing a ninth term in Congress. Both Jefferson and Carter promised to help repair the lingering devastation of Hurricane Katrina. Carter also reminded voters of Jefferson's involvement in a scandal that included allegations that FBI agents found $90,000 in bribe money stashed in Jefferson's freezer. Jefferson has been accused of taking bribes from a company seeking contracts in the Nigerian telecommunications market. He has denied doing anything wrong and has not been charged.
Coordinated events in Seattle, Tacoma, and Olympia, Washington took place this weekend to support current U.S. Army war resistors at Fort Lewis. Free Speech Radio News' Mark Taylor Canfield reports from Seattle.
As part of a national day of action called by the organization Courage to Resist, anti-war activists gathered to demonstrate support for three U.S. Army soldiers who have refused to serve in Iraq, Lieutenant Aaron Watada, Specialist Suzanne Swift, and Sergeant Kevin Benderman. Events were supported by Veterans for Peace, Stand Up Seattle, the Answer Coalition, and the Washington State.